Well, it's always a pleasure to welcome back into Press Row. Ryan Callahan does a great job of covering Tennessee Volunteers recruiting for 24/7. You can follow him on Twitter at Ryan Callahan. That's Callahan 247. Ryan Callahan 247. Ryan, welcome in. How are you today?
Hey guys, doing well. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. All right, we've got we're right here on Wednesday's start to the 72-hour early signing period. Tennessee has 18 commitments, ranked number 19 overall. If I had to ask, just kind of a general assessment of where Tennessee is in the here and now, what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, in a pretty good spot for right now, but with a lot of work to do. Obviously, you know, 18 commitments in a class that's going to end up somewhere around 25. So they've got several more spots to fill and hoping to get a lot of that work done on Wednesday or certainly this week, at least one target that may be announcing on Thursday, Morvan Joseph, a former Florida State commitment. So still a lot of irons in the fire and still looking to close strong here in the early signing period and maybe even in February on National Signing Day with some guys potentially being out there after this week. But definitely a chance for them to finish strong and finish out what would be a solid class, but, you know, obviously a class that's not going to finish in the top 10, it looks like, barring a massive push here late, but a class that easily could finish in the top 15 if they can finish with some of the guys they're really hoping to get.
You know, and Ryan, last year, I mean, if I look at last year's cycle, 22 signees ranked 13th. I mean, we know that Tennessee has a staff full of good recruiters. You've got six SEC teams in the top 10. I certainly don't want to call this class disappointing because it's not, but is there any frustration with people that follow you that, like, we've got to start gaining on the Georgias and Floridas and Alabamas in this conference?
I think there is a little bit of that just because I think fans remember, you know, seeing Butch Jones's staff able to have a top five class in their second full year and having a top seven class nationally. And that first full class they signed. But the thing to remember about some of those classes was that they were as highly ranked as they were in some cases, at least partly because of how many players they were able to sign. That was a different situation, different era. They could sign 30. One of those classes had 32 players and another had 28, I believe, or 29. So some big classes that helped contribute to that. But there were some elite players in those classes that certainly contributed to why those classes were as good as they were. But also, that, you know, when you look back on them, though, they had a lot of misses. And so I think at the end of the day, fans need to keep in mind it's all about evaluating. It's all about hitting on your evaluations. And if this class ends up, you know, 13th, 15th, wherever it might be on signing day, if it ends up being a class, you know, that's 80% filled with guys who at least contribute and half of it is future, you know, two-year starters or more, you know, you're going to look back and say that was a good class regardless of where it was ranked. So I think at the end of the day, the name of the game is just stacking top 15 classes on top of each other, improving your depth, giving yourself a chance to compete, and eventually you're going to have to probably overachieve on the field to some degree anyway to if you're going to chase down the Georgias and Floridas in the SEC East. But you know, there certainly is some level of expectation that, yeah, fans want to see top 10, top 5 classes, and you know, it's just tough to do when you're winning, you know, even this year. 7-5 is a nice step forward, but it's sometimes tough to recruit at that elite level until you're winning more games. So sometimes you've got to overachieve on the field first before you can get those kinds of results.
Ryan, when you look at the state of Tennessee, I mean, obviously the Vols getting Keyshawn Lawrence, the safety out of Ensworth, Omari Thomas, the defensive tackle out of Briarcrest Christian. You look at Cade Mays' younger brother, Cooper, at Knox Catholic, Bryson Eason, Martavius French. I mean, Tennessee's doing well in state. How would you assess how they've done trying to keep everybody within the state lines? And along those lines, here at McCauley School, is Jay Hardy Tennessee's biggest one that got away?
So far, for sure. I think no question about that. That's one that frankly, I think is still a wild card in Tennessee's class. You know, does he go ahead and sign with Auburn on Wednesday, or does he wait until February to sign? That certainly is, at least there have been conflicting signals out there. You know, even since the day he announced last month, he's continued to tell me that his plan has been to sign in February, but there at least have been some indications on the Auburn end of things that he may sign this week still. So that's one to watch, and if Tennessee still has a chance to recruit him for another month and a half, you know, maybe there's the door's still open just enough. You know, Tennessee at least has had some talks about getting him back on campus for a basketball game. So that one might not be over just yet, depending on what happens this week. But that would certainly be the one that's gotten away so far. You know, there have been a couple of other misses. The most prominent probably, Trayvon Ribka, defensive lineman, and Dixon that they definitely wanted. And Kentucky landed him, and kind of a surprise to a lot of people. But he's liked Kentucky all along. So that's one that was disappointing for Tennessee. But the one that's really hurt so far has been Jay Hardy. And if they can somehow, get Tyler Barron from Knoxville Catholic, four-star defensive end. They've already landed Omari Thomas, the four-star defensive lineman from the Memphis area recently. So if they could get Tyler Barron on Wednesday to go along with them, it would be a pretty good year in state for Tennessee. But yeah, they're a Jay Hardy away probably from this being a really good in-state class. And as it is right now, probably just good, but definitely an improvement on last year when they had a pretty small in-state crop.
Ryan, I apologize if I get the number wrong, but I think I read where you wrote that I think Hardy had taken like 8 either official or unofficial trips to Knoxville so far this year. I know you've been doing this a while. What was your shock value when he did commit to Auburn?
We had started to hear some sort of last-minute smoke, about Auburn, and so that you weren't completely surprised in the moment, but certainly leading up to it, it was a very big surprise that it changed that quickly because, there have been some pretty strong indications for a while that Tennessee was going to be the choice there. And like you said, he'd been to Tennessee 7 times this year, including his official visit back in late October. Auburn just sort of swayed things with that final visit. And sometimes that can happen. It's just much more common that, we always say follow the visits in recruiting. Much more often the school that's had a guy on campus that many times, that's that close to home, is going to be tough to beat. And Auburn, despite only getting him on campus twice before that decision, landed him and sort of pulled off the shocker there. So it does happen, but it was one of the bigger surprises we've seen, certainly in state, in my time doing this over the past decade or so. It was a shocker for Tennessee and not one they were expecting at all, but you've got to be prepared for everything, and that's why you take nothing for granted. And Tennessee was worried when they knew, I think, that he was taking that Auburn visit right before his announcement. And that's why you always worry, even when you feel like you've got things under control. One visit can change everything.
You're listening to Ryan Callahan. Does a great job covering Tennessee's recruiting for 247sports.com. You're listening to Ryan here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Ryan, I got a bunch of things I want to kind of cover quickly. So a kind of a rapid fire right here. How many times does Patrick Brown wear a Ja Morant jersey to the office?
Only a couple times a week. He's keeping it under control.
Fair enough. How important is Harrison Bailey in this class?
Really important. I think everybody looks at quarterbacks. That's the first thing people want in a class. You want to have an elite one if possible. And that's one Tennessee struggled to really address with an elite player the last couple of years. You go back to Josh Dobbs being the last time they had one this highly ranked. That one obviously turned out pretty well for Tennessee. So quarterbacks can be hit and miss. You've got to develop. If Harrison Bailey doesn't get any better than he is today, he probably won't be very good in college. It's all about where you go once you get on campus. But he's got all the tools that could allow him to be very good. So no doubt that's a big one. He's tried to be a pretty active peer recruiter, and he's the linchpin of this class for a reason, and he gives Tennessee a chance to, I think, have some pretty good offensive success in the future with just his arm and what he can do on the field.
Who is the biggest target for Pruitt and his gang of merry recruiters that is uncommitted right now beyond the former Florida State commit you mentioned earlier?
I think you have to start, with just the biggest name and the highest rated guy, and that's Darnell Washington, the five-star tight end from Las Vegas. It's not often you see SEC teams going head-to-head for a guy out west. You see it every once in a while. Henry To'oto'o last year that ended up at Tennessee was one where Tennessee was battling Alabama for the most part down the stretch. This is another one of those deals. Georgia's been the favorite for a while. Alabama's still in there wanting a tight end, and they've been after him for a while. And here's Tennessee. They just got him on campus for at least the 5th time. He actually said it was his 6th time visiting Tennessee, but he was just on campus over the weekend on his official visit, getting the final visit. So it's sort of set up to where Tennessee, at least from the outside looking in, I think has given themselves a pretty decent chance, but I think Georgia still feels pretty confident there too. So that one to me looks like a Georgia-Tennessee battle down the stretch and just a matter of which one pulls it out. But if you can land a 5-star on signing day, that would obviously be a huge deal and would address a pretty big need at tight end.
Ryan, you've been doing this for a while. You've been doing it well for longer than that, my man. How much – we've now had a few years. I mean, this early signing period, now that we're getting a little more comfortable with the calendar, good thing, bad thing? Do they ever go backwards? What are kind of your ballpark views of the craziness that this now happens a week before Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, people have obviously adjusted quickly. It's tough to me. It accelerates things so much. You know, we've now got a spring period for early for official visits. So you've got players taking official visits at the end of their junior year sometimes, trying to make decisions in the summer because of that. So more and more you see early decisions these days. Coaches want more than half their class committed by the time the season starts. That's usually the case. So it just set up everything, and it makes it tough for play. You know, players have to take visits more often during the season because look at Tennessee. They just finished their season November 30th. They've got 2 weeks after that for coaches to be on the road and for players to take additional visits. So it's just not a big stretch run anymore, and not that many guys wait until February to sign because the expectation is for most guys to sign early. So it's just tough. It's just different. But it's not been a bad thing necessarily, but it does hurt some kids. The flip side is it maybe helps some kids. You've had some kids that wait around past the early signing period, and because they're among the limited number of players available, they kind of end up trading up almost and getting in a better spot because their stock goes up just by the limited supply that's out there. So you see both sides to it, but I think it's just a tough deal because kids have to speed up everything now, and it gives them less time to sort of figure things out, especially when their coaching changes.
You're listening to Ryan Callahan. Does a great job covering Tennessee recruiting for 247sports.com. Ryan, final question. Tennessee sitting there with 18 hard commits right now. Half of them, 9 of them, are 4 stars. I want you to tell me who's the diamond in the rough. 3 stars or less, who do you like the most out of this class?
Oh, man. There are a couple pretty good candidates in this class. I think right now, I might lean toward the guy they just added. I really like Danico Slaughter, a defensive back from Roswell, Georgia. He's a pretty physical guy on film. Plays the nickel spot in high school. Looks like that's what he's going to do at Tennessee too. Wes Rucker, my coworker that you guys know well, he threw out in our podcast today. Kind of reminds him a little bit of Rashawn Golden on film. I don't want to put expectations too high, but he is that kind of player that just seems to fit really well in that nickel spot. So I like that one. There are a few others in this class that I could pick easily, but I think he's one that definitely fits that description. Now that a couple of my candidates have had their rankings bumped, the one I would have picked before was Jimmy Callaway, an athlete from Georgia, but he's a 4-star now, so I can't really pick him. So that's the one I would go with right now, but there are a few others that I could easily go with.
Which name do you like most, Danico Slaughter or Javontez Spraggins?
Oh, man. There have been some good names in this class. I think it's hard to go against Javontez Spraggins. That's a really good one. And for that matter, he's another one that might be a dark horse in this class. 340-pound or so offensive guard who just moves really well for a guy with that size. But that name combined with that size and that ability to just be kind of a mauler in the run game, you gotta like that combination.
Ryan, you said he moves really well for that size. What is moving really poorly for that size? Being like a love seat?
You could find it out there. Look around at okay. High school football. I'm sure you could, but no, he doesn't look 340 necessarily on film when you see him. Go check it out. It's worth watching.
And I guess before we let you go, Tennessee's also had the Mordecai McDaniel. You also had the DB from East St. Louis, right? Because that's what Spraggins reminded me of. There was also a team guy from the same area that left. I guess they've taken a couple of hits in the secondary through this cycle. Has there, when you look at commitments and decommitments and all that, how active would you say this class is maybe compared to the last two as far as people changing their minds?
Yeah, I think you've had a little bit. I mean, you're always going to have a little bit of that. I think we've seen a little more this year. Some like Antonio Johnson, maybe not a big deal. Certainly Mordecai McDaniel, I think, is one that definitely hurts Tennessee. You know, there's a chance now they only sign a couple DBs in this class, just depending on how things go down the stretch. So that, thankfully for them, that's not a big need. But that one certainly hurts to lose a 4-star defensive back like that they really like, and especially to a division rival. So, you know, some of those were Tennessee's choice where you just, you know, evaluations change and you sort of move on and realize there are better fits out there for you. A couple like McDaniel, they're guys they'll wish they had in their class at the end of the day. But in the end, you know, that all tends to wash out for the most part, and you end up with a class that's about what you probably deserve to begin with. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't break your way, but this year I think it's about, you know, it's about even. You know, Tennessee's had some additions where they've upgraded and some like McDaniel that have hurt.
Ryan, listen, fantastic job. Ryan Callahan, he's a great follow, and he knows his stuff. He's been doing this for 24/7 for a while now. They all do a great job. Like he mentioned, Wes, Patrick, some of our closest friends. Ryan, thank you so much, and I know you're almost at the finish line of this early signing period, so we certainly thank you for taking some time out and joining us here in Chattanooga.
No problem at all. Thanks a lot, guys.
All righty. Ryan Callahan joining us. 648-1051 is the number. We'll revisit the Papa John's poll question when we come back here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.